Welcome back to the Perth Business Podcast. If you're a returning visitor, hello again. And if you're new, welcome. I'm Taryn, your host, and I speak to the innovators, creatives, and thought leaders in Perth in order to help you build your business better. Whether you're starting something new, or you're trying to get through a challenge, or grow, someone's definitely been there and done it before. So grab your cup of coffee, settle in, and let's get started. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Perth Business Podcast. Get comfy.
I'm trying to. Settle I'm working in. On it. Yeah. It is a comfy chair. I'm not complaining.
This one's like, I feel like, you know how you can lock chairs back and forward? Yeah, Mine's unlocked.
I just locked mine, which felt better because unlocked, I felt like I was going to fall.
Yay!
Okay.
Oh, that's better. That's better. I was flying across the room for a second there. Yeah, welcome. I'm going to start with the drinks because, I mean, they're here. We've got the options. When I asked you what bev you would like to podcast to today, you didn't have any preference, which is kind of my favorite thing. So I thought I would bring, I brought the sake because I've just come back from Japan. Have you ever been?
I haven't.
No. Well, let me bring it to you. This one is a very palatable sake. Have you had sake before?
I have.
I really like it cold. I don't know how you like it.
I've had it in various ways.
Yep. So no preference?
No, just it's fine.
Yep. So we've got that option. We have breakfast juice, which is the LS Merchants Brekkie Juice. It's like a skin contact orange wine, and I find it really palatable.
Cool.
Although, as the name suggests, it is often better in the morning. I just figured because it's nice and cool this evening. Well, humid, but like overcast.
Yeah.
It was giving me brunch vibes. So if you, okay. I don't know, yeah, if yeah, you're yeah. partial to a skin contact. And then this bad boy. Imperica by Castelli. Castelli's, this is a small batch bottle and it is, I started it two nights ago. So if you would like to join me in finishing it, be my guest.
Wow.
Take your preference. What's your feeling?
Well, they're all full bottles just about. Oh no, that one's not. Thank God. Like, hang on, you're going to crack a bottle of sake.
There's two nearly empty bottles.
That's good. Let's try the sake, hey?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're up for it. Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, you really... You talked it up.
I really sold it, didn't I? And it's also cold right now. So like if you don't like it, we can switch it up for something else when it gets warm. All right.
Looking forward to it.
So.
And no, I have not been to Japan. That would be very cool. But no, it's not one of the places I've been.
Well, I feel like it's on the list for everyone, right? I feel like, there's a bit more. But I feel like it's on the list because, I don't know, it's just one of those places that when you go, you just want to come back immediately. In my opinion.
Okay.
In my humble opinion.
And the best part?
Oh, the food.
Yeah.
The food.
Yeah. That's what I hear a lot.
Yeah.
That or the skiing.
Yeah.
And or both.
And I don't ski. So it was the food for me for sure. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Amazing.
Big time. Cheers.
Have a little sniff.
Mm.
Cool. Good way to warm you up for a podcast.
Yeah, because it's freezing out here.
It wouldn't be the first time. Knocked back a hard drink before I started a podcast. So.
I love that.
All good.
You were telling me you, on your podcast that you used to do with friends, you used to smash a bevy. Well, I shouldn't say that. You used to try different beverages before each episode.
Yes. So one of the podcasts I've been involved in was called Simple Minds Podcast, where a bunch of blokes tried to have conversations that maybe blokes didn't always talk about.
Awesome.
Yeah, which was cool. And we started it with a drink and we'd take turns and someone had to bring a drink and you might bring one you loved and you might bring one to have a bit of fun. But often we were having a scotch or a whiskey or a beer or something different. And so all manner of things have been consumed at the start of a podcast as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, 110 odd episodes, I think we did. So,
so that's a lot of beverages. Yeah, a few bottles knocking around. That's so funny. I think it's great to have a drink. And even if you're not an alcoholic consumer of alcohol, I feel like something even like a coffee it sets the tone for you to let out your inner thoughts and feelings. So we're going to get right into it. I'm actually really excited to hear your story because I've heard snippets from yourself and from Tash, your partner, and who has been on the podcast before.
She has,
which is really cool. And it's really exciting that we are catching up now, although it's been far too long.
Yeah, and let's hope I behave because I've done a lot of being on the other side of the microphone. And, the other microphone, but not so many on this end. So
yeah. Something a bit different. I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you for testing the waters with the Perth Business Podcast. We are very flattered. Okay, take me to, before we get into what you do now, because we will get into that, and I find there's so many stories off the back of, you know, challenges that you're facing currently, new adventures that you're embarking on. But if you want to give us a bit of a picture of who Matt is at the core, let's start with, are you from Perth?
I am from Perth. Mm-hmm. I was born in South Perth at a little hospital that's still there, looking a bit old these days. But yes, I've always lived in Perth. We went down south for a year, but I've always been here. I've travelled a bit, but I've always lived here.
Yeah, awesome. You were saying that you went down south. Would you live anywhere else? Like, do you feel connected to Perth in a way?
Perth's home, I think. Mm. We just spent 12 months down in Yallingup, so that was great.
Beautiful.
But that was off the back of intending to go somewhere else, but then we couldn't because of all the COVID travel issues and all that. So I haven't tested living anywhere else. Mm-hmm. We were heading out to the Pacific.
Oh, wow.
My wife, that's the story you may or may not have heard already, but my wife was born on a little island out in the South Pacific called Niue, which we love to sort of go there regularly. And after a bit of disruption, I guess, a few years ago, we sort of said, what do we want to do with life? And we'd sort of decided we're going to go and spend 12 months there and give the kids access to some culture and other things. We were preparing to live somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then there was no way to get there. Couldn't do anything, couldn't go through New Zealand and everything else. So we actually made the decision to head to Yallingup and do something different instead. So
epic.
Yeah, we end up a bit closer to home than, you know, what was anticipated. But that's life. So far we haven't lived anywhere else.
Yeah. I feel like Yallingup is a different part of the world in itself. It's like a sanctuary, even though Perth is quite isolated and feels a bit like a sanctuary sometimes. Like you can step out of the CBD on past Langley Park and already be on the water, basically, which is awesome. But Yallingup and anywhere else, like down south Dunsborough, that sort of thing, is very much a different little haven.
Yeah. Oh, look, we were even more so. We were isolated. I mean, we were on a 4-acre property halfway between sort of Dunsborough and Yallingup Beach. Mm-hmm. Kangaroos all over our property, very quiet little isolated place just surrounded by amazing nature. It was pretty amazing. And you're right. It almost in some ways just the cliff faces and everything are just incredible. And you feel like you're a world away. Mm. So it is very, very different to being in Perth.
Yeah. And was that kind of like you needed a bit of a change or a refresh or a restart button? What was the motivation?
How much time have you got?
In summary, I suppose, do you feel like you've come back to Perth to start a new challenge or to pick up where you left off, or was it, what's the vibe now?
Well, I'll rewind you to there because you kind of have to go back to explain now. So we get to, I guess, March, April, May 2020, COVID's sort of starting to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, team of people, what do? Everyone goes home, all that kind of thing. And then a couple of other things happen in life. Tash gets really ill. Mm. So my wife gets very sick with an autoimmune condition to the point that she couldn't lift our baby at that point out of the cot.
Far out.
And trying to run a business from home with COVID, and then my best mate, really one of my best mates, had a massive cardiac arrest at the same time.
Oh my God!
And we helped take over his business, and he had people in two states, and a lot happened very quickly. And so that was a pretty major sort of time for us. The long and the short of it is Tash got better after a little while, which was really good, was really positive. And we just sort of started to ask the question, like, if we could do anything, what would we just do? Mm. We've got three kids, so yeah. It's not the easiest thing to sort of just like make like drastic decisions and just do stuff. But that's sort of where it all happened. Like, we're very, obviously I'm very grateful that her health recovered a bit pretty quickly, because it was pretty dire at that point in time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my my mate's not sort of so lucky in terms of how he's, you know, he's not able to function in that very well at this point. And so, yeah, it was just a massive shock with all those things happening. And then COVID just changed everything too. So it was like, well, what do you want to do? And that's when we decided to go to the Pacific for a year. Like, let's go spend some time on this island, reconnect with nature a bit more, continue to work. I mean, the plan was to do it remotely and just keep going with what's going on. So we did that. Or we intended to do that, but we couldn't get there, and it's a long way in a boat.
Yeah,
so we needed Air New Zealand to sort of come through, and we needed to be able to go through New Zealand. Well, it's not because it was obviously what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so then like plan B became, well, we wanted to get out of Perth, just do something different, and then just literally on a whim, we signed a lease in Yalling Up on zero notice and moved there in like 5 days and chucked the kids in school for the next year.
Holy
like literally
crap.
Just went like, just, oh yep. shit, just do it. Like yep. just, it just came up to do, and we just did it.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that happened really quickly. And then 12 months down there happens really quickly. And then we're like, oh, I think it's time to come back to Perth for a little while. We still do want to go over to the Pacific and do something there. But, just wasn't the time right now.
Yeah. Mm. Awesome. Oh, my God. What a succinct way of telling that story.
I did my best.
Yeah, you did really I could do that in an hour. I was going to say, because we went through quite a bit in Tasha's podcast episode. Yeah. But if anyone wants to hear more, they can go listen to that. Mm. I want to hear about the resilience that you obviously had developed up to this point, and obviously during, because, you know, sometimes when humans are fascinating to me. Like, I can't believe how resilient we are. Times of life where you just have to pull through. Mm. I wonder if it would have been different if you didn't have three kids, you know, like would you have felt the same motivation to, you know, provide for the family, you know, you and your wife both working at that time and then her being unwell. Such a fascinating thing. So do you think in the lead up to that time period, which was, God, it was a horrific time. I feel like everyone built serious resilience after COVID. Yeah. Do you think anything really owed to the resilience that you had to that point, like anything happened in your life prior that may have caused you to kind of have the headstrong, well, obviously I have to help my mate with his business because he can't do it. And obviously I'm here for my family. I'm going to stay here and be a part of that, like dig my teeth into it and dig my nails in, as opposed to, I don't know, being selfish and running away. Like any person might think, hold on, this is too much for me.
And that's probably a good idea. Like that sounds better in hindsight. Yeah. But I don't know, my whole life, I suppose, leads up to it. I mean, I think it's hard to talk about those challenges when you're then outside of them, because in them, it's like you just said, humans are capable of incredible things.
Mm.
Incredible. Like, whether that's physical feats or other things, and especially when we come together in community.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a dad of three now, so every now and then even an ad can make me cry.
Yeah.
But which is pretty random to say. But like,
no, a very well-curated ad.
Yeah, like they do a good job. And so, like, especially when community gets involved. And I think you just have to.
Mm.
So, I have been through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even starting life as an asthmatic and had some pretty bad challenges at very early stages in terms of breathing and things like that. And then I've actually been through anxiety and depression and panic attacks, and like a lot of, you know, I've spent a lot of time in my 20s coping with that after having started my career and been running around in suits doing things. And then all of a sudden just going like, hey, you know, guess what? It's time to be a bit humble. You know, you can't maybe not do what you wanted to do anymore. So I've spent a lot of time, dealing with, I guess, challenges in life. But but I don't think that's necessarily it. I mean, that helps, I suppose, maybe with a muscle memory kind of help. But I think when you see something really significant happen to a mate like that, and you're in one of the best places to help do something about it for him and his wife and for all of their employees, and you know, you just do it. I do anyway, and it wasn't a question. And that was despite the ill health that my wife was in at the time and everything else, but we just found a way to do it all. You just find a way, and So I don't know how well I can answer that because I think in the middle of it, you just find a way.
Yeah, it's like a tenacity that you kind of just have as a person.
I wasn't the only one. Like lots of people, you know, had challenges and they helped. You know, and sort of, I think that's, yeah, sorry, I cut you off your question.
No, but that's fine.
I think like it's really powerful and it's a really key point. Like, and sort of elements of COVID showed that, and maybe other elements of our behavior didn't show that, but we're human after all. But, you know, when we truly do need to pull through and do things, we're capable of amazing things collectively.
Mm, yeah, it's about the want to do it, right? The motivation from yourself, because it's, like that old, you can take a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink, right? Like you can give everyone the tools, but if they don't do the same thing that you do, there's actually nothing you can do about it. So what I was going to ask is what did your entrepreneurial journey look like then when you started? Because you mentioned that you used to run around in suits, multiple suits at the same time.
Well, I was probably wearing a suit maybe on who I was.
Just my lizard suit, my human suit with my lizard body underneath.
Just take out, I mean, I've always wanted to be one of the lizard people, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no. What a dream, what a dream.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to rule the world, so. Okay. So, well, look, I don't know how much you've looked into to the background, but so I'm an accountant, trained accountant, spent my first several years in insolvency, which was pulling businesses apart.
And super joyful.
Super joyful. People on the phone saying everyone owes us lots of money and me having to say there's no money and and having to fire lots of people. And I mean, that's a bit flippant, but like there's some truth to it, but you know, there's also it is a job that someone's got to do and and they're, you know, it's difficult at times and someone's got to try and make the most of a situation. Like in anything, but this is just, I guess, surgery for businesses. so I did that, for a number of years and then moved on to a more corporate accounting role for a little while and then just, and this was mid-20s and then everything just sort of went bad. I got sick. I ended up with chronic fatigue.
Oh my goodness. But
ill for a long time and then because of that, became unwell, ended up with some anxiety and, you know, other sort of complications and problems. So just another thing to have to learn to go through.
But
that was I always knew that I wanted to be in business and start a business. I wasn't sure how I'd ever do that. But once I came through, I suppose, the other side of getting a bit healthier from that couple of years when I was just – like there was – there was points in time where I was working like 2 days a week because that's all I could work. And this is a, you know, mid-20s, young, fit person who's just been like...
prime of your life.
Yeah, like super active, always doing things, you know, sports, work, all the rest of it. And then there was a point where I would drive to work 30 minutes, walk to my desk or drag myself to my desk and need like an hour sitting there to try and recover to start.
Wow.
I sort of got that... that unwell, you know, had no health, like just health in general was just poor.
It's not just mental, it's physical as well.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's both. And I think they're a spiral. I mean, it started off by me being sick, like, and I had kind of like a cold or a flu type thing that just kept lingering for like sort of 8 weeks or so. And I'd never had that.
Yeah, like, your body's like
sick. Never experienced
down.
That. Yeah. So I think it's, you know, there's hours worth of conversation in there, but the reality is over a couple of years I learnt to and did a lot of work to get stronger and healthier. And once I sort of came back to being able to work, I was like, yeah, but I'm not really motivated to work and to be, you know, to be able to go and do what I want to do, I think I need to be passionate about it a bit more and start my own thing. So I did. I think I started my first business in, I think I was about 26 or 7 maybe.
Okay, and was this after you'd gone through the spiral, I suppose, that you described? You're like
after
unwell.
Then
after that. So in the little spiral moment, what – because I'm not sure. I feel like I hear the story – well, not this story. Like the story of burnout from business owners a lot because of the fact that your brains are like – you're like, we've got a problem to solve and we are capable of doing it. And that is like the power that gets you through every single day.
Yep.
And it is admirable. It's so inspiring. But then there's this burnout of like, hang on, I've never – experienced significant rest, you know, like never experienced or considered taking a year off because, like, oh my God, I could do so much in a year, you know, like, let alone a week. Just give me a week holiday and you end up, I don't know, coming back early to work or thinking about work and using it as a time to recharge for work. You said that you got onto like a little bit of a kick to get like feel better, get better, healthy. Was this like doctors? Was it like soul searching? What was the...
How much time have you got?
Yeah. Well, I want to delve into that.
Look, all of it. So there's almost two parts to that question. So the first part, I suppose, is no, I had to, once I started a business, I was very cautious. Tried to be very cautious about and not overdoing it, especially as I got more excited and going, you get on this entrepreneurial type, like just let's go for it.
Yeah.
And I suppose you can have that with any purpose, but you know, you might not eat all day because you're just on fire doing stuff. And so I sort of was a bit nervous about those things and just had to be careful. Because it was one thing that was like, well, if I start a business and everything's on me and I have to build all these things and do all these things, am I going to find myself back down that same hole?
Yeah.
I suppose. I definitely had that thought and didn't find myself specifically down that back down that hole. But yeah, there was certainly like bouncing in and out and you learn a lot more about yourself. So yeah, I started with doctors, then went to natural things. You know, I no disrespect to the sort of health industry, but sort of, you go see a GP for maybe like 7 minutes and there's only so much even the best one could possibly do. So it goes beyond, especially when you're not sort of in a life-threatening state. It started there. Things like, you know, Calm apps and all these things, they didn't exist. Stuff wasn't there. Like when I finally went to someone and they handed me this like kooky guy's meditation tape on a CD, everyone's like, what are you doing, you weirdo? Like now this is like normal stuff to talk about. And like, shit, I'm not that old. Like, you know.
I was going to say, how long ago was it?
This is only like, this is mid-2000s. And like maybe it is more or was out there more, but it's just far more prevalent now, especially with apps and all the sort of free content. That stuff wasn't there. It wasn't accessible. So, yeah, there's a lot of natural in there. There's a lot of soul searching in there. There was a lot of... everything, because I had to find a way to bring myself back up, and to do that I had to exercise and things like that, even though I didn't have the energy to do that at the time. And and so it was a very holistic thing, from some medication and off that, and then a lot of natural things, a lot of rest as well, and then just working it out. So that was a couple of years, over a couple of years, until one day I thought, well, that's kind of over, I think, because it's not like it's a clean exit either, sort of per se. And I still, I still get anxiety and all the, other things. Like that's actually normal for us to do that. So it's accepting part of who I am as well.
Yeah.
I can sort of go on about it forever in some ways, but it was really just, if I'm being honest, like I was probably, I needed to change direction in life and, it happened.
Your body figured it out.
That's it. It ended up being a physical thing, and it literally stopped me dead in my tracks.
Yeah. That's so fascinating, isn't it? Like I was thinking the other day, because I have done 3 bouts of therapy where I go for a little bit and, get all, I don't know, I feel like I nail therapy, which is like not a good thing.
Maybe the concept of nailing therapy is actually something terrible, you might need to work on. Like, I don't think it's something to win.
Well, that's it, because I get to a point where they're like, I feel like you're coping pretty well. Like, we've covered all this. Do you feel like there's anything else to work on? And I'm like, not really, I guess. Like, cool, I'm in a good spot. Thanks so much for helping me. And then I leave. And then, something will happen. You'll have that anxiety day, or like I do this thing where I catastrophize. And oh, so, yeah. Oh, yeah. Familiar.
Oh, I think I know what you mean. Do you win at that?
No, I lose at that every time. It sucks. Right. But it's about like accepting that it's happening and that you're going to get through it and it's all good.
5 gold stars.
Yeah, thank you so much. The concept of winning at therapy is that's hilarious. And it's been 3 different therapists as well. Like, I could also go hours on that journey. So
is that because you, like, mastered the first one and you thought you needed something new?
No, she went and had a baby.
Okay.
God damn her. But it was also, like, it's funny what prompts you to go into therapy or what prompts you to, you know, buy that meditation tape or start exercising in a certain place, whatever it is. It's an interesting concept for me that the more you do these rounds of work and then things happen to trigger you and you think, oh, my God, I've gone back to, like, you know, square one. I need to go do this again or I need to work on something different now. Like, will it never end? But I experienced, like, a couple of, 2 weeks ago I booked a flight, a one-way flight to Europe, and I had the most physical presentation of anxiety I've had in a very, very long time.
Okay.
I was like, what is going on? Like, I felt like I was going to, like, pass out. I was like, what have I done? But, like, I know I want to do it. I know I'm going to be fine. Like, I was, like, mentally, logically making my way through it. Physically, my body was like, nah, we're going to have a panic. Let's do it. But it was interesting because after all this work I've done since 2020, I can now cope with just sitting with the anxiety and knowing that it's going to be okay afterwards. Like, it, you know, maybe you need 4 hours or 4 days or 4 weeks, but you're going to get through it on the other side because you've done it before. Like, it's like exposure therapy, all right? Like, if you've, like, figured it out. And that's just one little tiny bit. Like, I've obviously got heaps. Like,
yeah, should we do another episode of that? Or maybe it's a different podcast, but we could do a whole other episode on that. I mean, I can relate to throw something into that conversation. I mean, after feeling like I was going to die about 4,000 times, I think I just realized I was still alive. So the chances of it happening were probably less.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, I know where you're getting at, but I guess to wind that into something else is it took me a long time, a really long time, to learn to be grateful for it. And I think that whilst I don't necessarily always do that well, that is an important part for me to be able to sit with something when it comes up like that and just realize that it's screaming a message at me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the most obvious thing in my experience that it's in front of me, but it's screaming a message at me for something.
Yeah.
And I could either listen, try and tune into it, have some awareness and look at it. And it might just be fear because I'm scared of doing something, but that's okay. Or I can try and bury it for a long time and probably that's when you end up with more, you know, bigger problems. But
it comes out somewhere, for sure.
It has to blow out somewhere, right? Yeah. So, well, congratulations on booking the ticket.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And congrats for getting through your spiral moments. I feel like that's commendable, like, to look back on those days and be like, oh my God, look where I am now. But even look where I was halfway after that, like, it's such a huge distance to go. From that period of your life, you started a business, you really got stuck into it. Can you talk me through a little bit the most important things would have been huge challenges that you overcame, supports that you met along the way. What were some key milestones for you in your business journey? Because you've pivoted quite a few times since then leapfrogged. What's that game where you just go higher?
I mean, maybe it's going forward. It's not going backwards, but it's, I guess, being trained as my first point of call, I was trained in insolvency.
Mm-hmm.
And so that meant, you know, as a 19-year-old kid, you know, still wearing dad's tie because I didn't have one and all that on the terrace. I was trained that, you know, for starters, I'd be doing 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 different businesses at once.
Mm.
I'd be running a bit of a country pub somewhere while we're trying to sell it, while, you know, pulling another business apart while something else came in. And, you know, I looked at them all the same. So I've always looked at all businesses as kind of the same thing.
Right.
You've got, you know, it's either goods or services. You've got people, mm-hmm. you've got other resources, and you've got, you know, sort of output on whatever that is. And in a lot of ways, they're all the same.
Yeah.
And so I have jumped between a couple of different businesses. But yeah, it's not really up, down or sideways. It's just right. sort of been the right opportunity was there, took it, decided to move on to another one or sold one or mm-hmm. something like that because the timing was right. Sometimes they've overlapped mm-hmm. or I've had a couple of businesses at once. Yep. Yeah, it's just how it unfolded, I suppose. Yeah.
Which one was your favorite? Like, which experience was your favorite in terms of maybe one that added to your growth the most, or maybe one that completely bombed and you were like, "Damn, that was fun though."
you know, my wife often says to me, like, "What's your favorite this or that?"
Oh,
and
yeah.
The word, like, picking a favorite something, I really struggle with. Like, I don't know what my favorite color is. I wear these colors or that color, yeah. but No business was favourite, I think, but they've always – I mean, so I've been involved in sort of like the construction side of things, like a trade-based business that yeah. I built up. I've had IT businesses. I was involved in property development and raising capital and wow. things like that for and I love property and something that I'll get back into a bit more. And then I shifted to looking for a more cash flow type business and also – kind of saw that the market was just out of control in terms of the digitization of everything. And I said, I need to get into digital marketing and that in some way and just be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so that's been that sort of last 10 years has really been my primary business in some form of digital marketing type business. And I bought into a little business that had just started basically so I could learn a bit. I mean, that's how, that was the plan.
Like
it
cool.
Before I knew it, I owned half, and then before I knew it, I owned all of it. And then it's been many, many years since then. But
yeah.
That's kind of cool because it means I get to work with lots of businesses in lots of industries, which is kind of, you know, what I've always done. So I don't really see them as too different.
Yeah.
And in terms of favorite things, we've done some really cool things. We ran an event where we had a few hundred people and managed to get the headlining speaker for it was a guy called Duncan Wardle, which was amazing. He used to be the head of creativity at Disney.
Yeah.
So that was
huge.
Pretty cool. And so it was nice to run events like that. I've loved podcasting. That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I also loved it when I won a big contract to work with one of the major land developers and we were – you know, I had guys installing all their fencing. Like that was
amazing.
Cool. I enjoy all of it. Like it's just, it's all fun.
Yeah.
You know, I found it fun. I mean, that's hindsight. Like there's obviously lots of challenges along the way. It's easy to like look back. It's like when you go on a holiday and you might've been sick for the holiday and then you get back and someone goes, "How was it?" And you're like, "Yeah, it was really good."
I was dead for half of it, but I won't mention that. Yeah.
I was laying on the beach vomiting like miserably.
That's
like,
sorry.
I was, you know, but all you remember is that it was great. You're on the beach, you know?
That's way too relatable. My last holiday in Mauritius, I remember telling everyone, "It's amazing. You must go. Yeah. What's it like?" I was like, I actually spent most of the time in a bedroom just like dying from some cold that I had.
See, and this is, I think people that stay in business for a long time are like goldfish.
Yeah. Right.
They just forget. They just forget all the pain that they dealt with yesterday, and they just start again the next day. And I think that's that sums it up in some ways. You're just always hopeful.
Yeah.
You always believe you'll figure it out. You'll find a way. You'll do something. I think that ties back into my mate and where we started the conversation. You just it's tough, but you just do the first thing.
Yeah, I love that.
See what happens. Yeah, just do the next thing. See what happens. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that favorite's a hard thing to pick.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a really good summary of that. I like that. How you answer the question by not answering the question. Yeah. I like that.
I can't think of a favorite.
And you recently published a book.
Yes.
This is the sweetest thing ever because when you told me about the book, I was like, I was picturing something so different. And then I like saw it online and I was like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah. That's the best part. Yeah. That's the best part. So I've got it here. It's over there. I'll actually show it to
yay.
You. Yeah, I've got one of the first advanced copies. So to rewind on what I'm sure you saw was this like power book that's like, hey, this is the seven ways you're going to dominate this and, you know, whatever. And there would be a cheesy picture of me on the front, or either with a suit on or I have a black t-shirt and just pretend I'm relaxed and in marketing, you know. So I could do either of those things and I wanted to for a long time. And then out of the blue, part of this sort of mental health concept that we were sort of been talking about, with a mate of mine, it was sort of labelled by egoic, fearful side, a donkey. And no worries, like the donkey still has some good merit. It's an important part of you, but he's the donkey. And then on the other side, sort of creative, more visionary, go with the flow kind of guy, a sea turtle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking, okay, if I approach a situation, am I being the donkey or am I being a sea turtle? Like, am I going with the flow? And I had sort of channeled a little bit the, you remember Crush from Finding Nemo? And he's like, hey, man, you know, like, just go with the flow. Dude. Yeah, dude. Yeah. And so that came to mind. And then I was like, oh, that could be like, I could write a little story. So I literally just wrote this story like in about 24 hours, just smashed out this story. And I was like, that was for me. Like, I wrote it for me.
Yeah.
And then I showed a couple of people because I was like, oh, that's kind of, you know, it's pretty cool. I'm pretty glad.
Was it fictional? Was it?
Well, pretty exciting that, you know, this book, and it is fiction, you'll say. And then they go, oh, that's an illustrated, that's like a kid's book. And I was like, oh, is it?
Yeah, you're like, that is exactly what I intended for it to
be. Actually, that is a kid's book. And so I had already started writing. You know, obviously accountant, marketing. I mean, there's a lot of copywriting and things like that in marketing, which I get involved in, but I traditionally come from very much a numbers-based.
Yeah, you know, analytical guy.
Analytical stuff. And I actually have drafted a novel, which I haven't, I'm working through the second draft at the moment.
Yeah, awesome.
But in the middle of it, this little book popped out. So,
cute. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I found an illustrator, Jenny Costner. She's in Perth as well. She did an amazing job. And got some help, had a look at the edit, then just decided, well, I don't know anything about publishing whatsoever, so probably the easiest way to do that would be just to self-publish it.
Amazing.
So I sort of learnt how to do that as I fell on my face every 5 seconds trying to just ask very dumb questions and and get the answers from people. And there's a bunch of books on their way down from overseas right now and we're doing a pre-sale.
Awesome.
And it's a mental health story in that, like, it's talking about those two sides of you, obviously the donkey side and then the sea turtle side. And we're both, but it's about just remembering that you're both and sometimes coming back to the orientation that, you know, if I'm being the donkey too much, maybe I just need to spend a bit of time over with some balance in that sea turtle side.
Chill out, bro. Go
to the just
beach.
being aware of it. And it's really just you've got everything you want inside. And it's just a tale of this donkey who wants to start a family and build a house. And he just can't, he's too busy working, so he can't sort of start the family. So, like, it's it's massively targeted at, obviously, adults and not reading it too. But it is a kid's book that kids can read and it's a nice story. But I think there's a lot of working people that maybe can realize that they're working so hard thinking they're striving for something, but maybe they've already got everything they kind of want.
Oh, yeah. It's heartwarming. So. What did your kids think?
Oh, they love it. Yeah. I think it's really cool. I don't know. They're probably tired of hearing me talk about it after, after a couple of years, but they enjoy the story. And my eldest two can basically read the book, and the little guy needs someone to read it to him. Just looked at the pictures and all that, and the illustrations are amazing. Like the work that's been done is just out of this world, taking it way beyond what I thought I could do. And the fact being a children's author is not something I ever thought.
I was going to say, like, was that on your list of like achievements? Because it's funny, I would love to. I'm going to reach out to you one day when I eventually figure out what I'm going to do to be able to self-publish something, because that's on my list of things that I would love to do. Children's book, that's pretty, wicked.
I would, the guy that we talked about before with the power book that said like, you know, do this and then do these seven
steps
and you'll win at life and you'll be amazing. That guy would have been like,
Yeah.
Children's book. What do you mean you're writing a children's book? And I guess that's sort of the donkey in a sense.
Yeah. Like,
where I might be a bit too harsh on myself or whatever.
Cynical, and
cynical and saying that's silly. And then, yeah, something just pops out, you know, and a bit of creativity in some way, shape or form. And I'm like, yeah, we'll just go with it, you know. So,
yeah,
here it is. It's putting it out there. It's, the books get here early May and I can't wait to sort of get them out there. And
exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. We'll definitely publish this before then so people can hear
awesome.
About it.
But yeah, that'd be great.
Ode to Crush. Cowabunga, bro. Yeah, like, Crush. What a, yeah, thank
that's
you.
It. Yeah, that's it. Like, it's a, and I didn't really think about that too much. And then I watched the little clip of it after I'd written the book.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, guess who I was channeling?
That's hilarious. Like, it's a really sort of fun little segment.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If anyone's out there, yeah, go and check, go and YouTube it because you could probably watch the 5 minutes of it. But just, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love that.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. I wonder if you could ever make your children's book into like an animated piece one day. You're like,
maybe
get
on
the cogs going.
No. Well, yeah, it's 100% what I think. Yeah. It's the very reason why I haven't actually done an audiobook version of it because I just feel like I need to actually go to like an animated piece instead.
Yeah.
Which is going to be way bigger and like a massive job, but I actually.
Why not? Give it a go.
I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be amazing.
It bombs, but it won't. Because it's a good lesson and it's relatable characters.
I sure hope so. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've got to find a way to fund that somehow. But because I don't think that's going to be the easy bit is funding an animated. Yeah. It'll be short, but it'll still be a bit of work. But no, I'm definitely keen to do that.
Any animators listening?
Yeah, any
out.
Animators listening? Yeah.
You know, project.
JV project.
Oh, I love that. That's wicked. Has that been like something different that you've done recently? Is there anything that you've done that's kind of taken you? Well, obviously, we've talked about a lot of things that have taken you on a wildly different path to what you thought you were going to be on. Has anything stood out to you in the journey of trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, or have you always known that you were going to own businesses and just go wherever that takes you?
The only thing that I can really be sure about is that I know that I want to actually produce content.
Yeah.
And that's weird because I have actually recorded podcasts for years. Actually, my first failed podcast was like 4 episodes back in 2014.
Right.
Like, so I actually started way back, not way back compared to others,
for Perth.
Yeah, I'm still kind of like.
Sorry, for podcast years as well.
We're still like early stages, I think, like for like, you know, both of us.
For sure.
But I think writing and actually producing more like content like that rather than just sort of vanilla content, and I'm being very harsh, but there is a lot of it out there, and it makes total sense, and I've made lots of it myself.
Yeah.
But I just think, we just spend too much time making content for the sake of it instead of actually being sort of present with it and doing it and just creating whatever might come up. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited that lately I've been able to do that a bit more, and I really think I'll do that for a long time. And apart from using that message to sort of share with people around things that I'm passionate about, like mental health and other things. It could be in any business. It really doesn't matter. So I guess my other part of that, the answer is I still don't know. I don't know what will come exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter. So because business is super broad.
Yeah.
And you could easily just like on the other plane say, oh, I just want a job.
Yeah.
And I don't care what job it is and I'm just going to move between different jobs and like there's nothing wrong with either of those things.
No.
But I think the good thing about business in my sort of experience is it just allows me a bit of freedom to choose to do different things as well.
Yeah.
I'll just, you know, start deciding that we're going to do a podcast and then I can invest that time, whereas if I was in a job somewhere I might not be able to do it like that. So that's kind of the beauty of it.
Yeah.
But when you've got lots of clients, it's like just having lots of jobs anyway.
Yeah.
It's just got different people that call you.
Yeah, right. You've also got a lot of responsibility on your plate, you know, as a dad and, you know, you've got a lot of commitments. You've started a business. It's huge. Like from the other end of the spectrum, I am in a job and I have no responsibilities or commitments aside from paying my rent. And even then, like I'm paying my rent to a friend at the moment because I had to move out and living with someone that I know. So if I really had to, I could, you know, figure it out a different way. It's not like I've got a deadline.
Yeah.
But how How does that experience work for you when you know what you kind of want to do in terms of creatively, you know what kind of person you are, like you've been through life, you know, ups and downs by now. I think the next sort of project for you, it sounds like it'll be approached with the same sort of, yeah, tenacity of we're going to get through this. It's an exciting opportunity. It's an experience.
Mm.
If you had to say something to yourself, you know, younger you or someone starting out, me, perhaps, what would you say in terms of like the most important learning, the most key thing that you would kind of wish you'd known or you did know and you just didn't recognize or acknowledge until now, if there is anything?
I'm looking to be very succinct here.
Sure.
You have to buy the plane ticket to Berlin. That's the truth, because I'm no different to you mm-hmm. right now to like when I was in your position. I'm the same person, but I've now just done lots of things that have, some have gone well, some haven't. I've just done them.
Mm.
But to start them, I just had to do something to start something, which then forced me to have the responsibility to like going to work.
Yeah.
If you've got a full-time job and they expect you there the next day, you sort of will just go there no matter what, unless you change your mind and do something different. And I think you have to create something that sort of just kicks you off the edge.
Yeah.
And then that first step then leads to more and the rest, and then something else will pop up and you're like, oh, maybe I could do that too.
Yeah.
Or then after a while you're like, this isn't working anymore, I need to change this. And I think that it's so cliche in some ways, but you just kind of have to do something. Just start something, take a risk.
Yeah.
If it's not going to scare you a little bit, like what's just happened with you buying that ticket, then maybe you haven't maybe it needs to be a bit bigger. And for people would be different. Like some people would be absolutely terrified at the thought of flying to Berlin and moving there for a while, and other people go, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll just do that. So we're all different. But you just have to start something. You just have to start something.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to start something? Like, you know, and then I guess the way I overcame that is that I actually got a mentor at that point in time and just paid for a couple of sessions with this mentor, and I'd seen him work with someone else and we had a couple of sessions and it just was enough to help me kickstart that first business. And by in doing that, we'd actually looked at a business that we could buy, and then we realized that I could probably just start that.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, had a few contacts in the area, and it wasn't the kind of business that needed to necessarily be, you know, sort of bought. It was something I could just start. And so then I just frantically went about using the skills that I'd acquired so far to do that. And but I had to just start something, like, and then, you know, and honor the place where you're at as the stepping stone to the next thing. And it will be there. And yours is a flight to Berlin. So like that's your next step.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I was talking to my brother recently because I've just got back from Japan. I went traveling last year. Like, I'm a travel freak at the moment. And that's why the concept of buying a ticket to Berlin wasn't scary. It was like once I'd done it, I was like, oh, shit. But he asked me, he goes, he's coming to Perth for a little bit. He lives in Queensland. But he was saying, oh, I would love to go travel. I'm like, every time I travel, he says that. I'm like, you just need to do it. Just buy a ticket somewhere. Where do you want to go? And start listing off all these places he's mentioned, you know. And he's like, yeah, but I've got bills to pay. I've got, like, you know, my car reg. I'm like, you think I don't? Like, I've got bills to pay.
I've still got bills to pay.
Like,
you know, nothing's changed now.
Nothing's changed.
Like, yeah, that's – and like without being harsh, that's the standard response from most people.
Yeah.
And the reason why I feel that is it just doesn't mean enough to them yet or ever, but you know, maybe just yet, or maybe it's never going to meet enough. And like we all see things and we're like, that'd be cool. And I'd love to do that. And you know, one other one that you raised us before was writing a book. Like, for, I don't know, 10 years, if I spoke to someone and they're like, I just published a book, I'd be like, oh wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then I'll turn around and go, Like, I've been wanting to do that. Like, yeah. You know, why haven't I? And then, because I guess it just wasn't time or yeah. I wasn't, it just didn't mean enough to mm-hmm. me until it did.
True.
You know, and that's true. And that's fine. But yeah. everyone wants to do things. I think they're really cool. But you know yourself, I think, when it's time to like take a leap
yeah.
and do something. And that was definitely it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's taking that first step. And if it's a little step, you know, you want to write that big novella or whatever it is that you want to write that you're halfway through the second draft. Oh, that's top secret.
No, it's not top secret. I'll talk about it.
You got to start with the children's book, which happened in 24 hours, you know, the first iteration of it. And I think that's the same as travel. Just take the little trip out of the state, out of the country for the first time for a short time. And then the next time will be bigger and scarier and it won't be as scary because you've done it before.
Well, you know, and I think, again, like everyone's different.
Mm.
So I think some people have to jump off a cliff, like completely.
True.
Out of the plane, you know, whatever. Let's use lots of metaphors.
Yeah.
and others can just take a little step. And, you know, there's, like, for example, I mean, we're recording a podcast. Mm-hmm. Media is amazing. You can easily outperform your job with a side hustle if you really go for it these days. Mm. And I know there's a percentage of people that can and many won't and can't, but really, if you really, really want to do it, it is possible.
Yeah.
And that's really amazing. But then there's some people that aren't really built to side hustle it.
Yeah.
And because they're, you know, they're focused on their work and they can't really split the focus and it doesn't, you know, feel like you need to go all in and that. So that others will work that way, mm-hmm. whereas some will be happily just build it up on the side and then over time go, I guess I'll quit my job now. And so we are all different, and I think it's just being true to who you are and understanding whether it is a big or a little flight. You know, maybe you're getting on Richard Branson's like flight up into the, you know, up to the outer space sort of.
Yeah. Or, not another one.
No, yeah, or maybe it's just like driving, you know, south of the river if you're from north of the river because, you know, there's quite a, you know, that's quite a stigma to go in the other direction from the river.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a huge, and that's great analogy. I like that, like metaphor for everyone being split by that river is like the part that you have to cross.
It's
in
like,
life.
Yeah, it's like Germany.
Yeah, yeah, like it's exactly like Germany.
It's like the wall.
Exactly the same. Oh dear.
You can cut that one out if you like.
No, it's not. Let's pull this back before we get out of control. I like it though. Like,
it's,
I get it.
It's. Yeah. Like, but I mean that from, like, I know a lot of people, like whether they're north or south, that would never consider even living on the other side of the same city, right?
So, totally.
And that, there's nothing wrong with that. That means you're closer to family or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
But some people need to do something like drastic and other people can just have a little step.
Yeah.
And both are right, in my opinion anyway.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I've just realized we are coming up to our little time limit, which sucks. There's so much more I want to dig into.
All right, what do you got? What do you got? We can fit something in.
I feel like we can fit something else in. Oh, gosh. I've done key learning. I've done key takeaway. Biggest inspiration?
Oh, wow. Biggest inspiration.
Or maybe someone that inspired you that you didn't expect to.
I've come to learn that I can learn from everyone, and that's really, really cool. Anyone doing any job, anyone who's a powerful influencer or whatever, there's always something, because I sort of for a long time would see someone and almost put them on a pedestal, and then I was like, oh, but I don't like that part about them or this or that, and I just realized everyone's got their own things that they're good at and not so good at, and there's value in anyone. And everyone, we've all got our genius.
Yeah.
And so big inspiration comes from really all over, and I think it just varies depending on what you're doing at the time. Some of the best inspiration I've had from a business context, to give it some more like tangibility.
Yeah.
Is some of the best things I've ever done have come from seeing what a different industry is doing. And then you're like, oh, but these guys just do it like this. What if I applied that over here? And then it's like, oh, no one in this industry has ever thought of that. Because often they don't necessarily mix, you know, the same. So I think just keeping your eyes open and having awareness.
Yeah. So what's your take on like AI and stuff? If you had to, are you excited by it? We're not going to delve too much into it. It's probably like a whole nother episode. But is, because you mentioned.
I'm not excited by my feed.
No. Sorry. I don't want anyone to see that shit. I personally don't even like the stuff on my feed. My TikTok algorithm changes every week and I'm like, why? I'm on here consistently. Like, can you stay the same?
Yeah.
Do you see, obviously, because your background, you've got a lot of different like skill sets in there. Analytical is one of the things that you labeled yourself as well as creative. You know, you can mesh the two.
Mm-hmm.
And things like ChatGPT are not the first AI we've ever dealt with. You know, mm-hmm. things are only evolving and suddenly this has got the spotlight right now. What do you think is, like, do you think it's a positive or a negative to embrace it? Follow the trends? Should people be diving into it, do you reckon? Are you diving into it? What are you?
I've tested stuff.
Yeah.
We've not integrated anything into what we're doing really at the moment.
Yeah.
Not in any meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the kind of fundamental that I see is that it can't really replace creativity yet. It can. There's some amazing things where music's been composed and things like that, which is not, we're talking about ChatGPT here,
yeah,
right?
Because
that's the thing. And now there's 5 million courses on how yep. to ChatGPT,
yeah.
which is fine and good. And there's a lot of applications where it can make sense and can be useful, but I don't think it replaces anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do with all the horses when we invent cars?
Yeah,
well,
right.
We just, like, things have always changed. And so if you, I like looking back at historical things as well as, like, future things. And if you look at our history and you have a look at what, say, like, 70 or 80% of the population did for their job in, like, 1920 and then, like, 1880 or whatever, you'll see, like, changes in things that happen as our technology shifts. So is it going to wipe out jobs? Yeah. Should a lot of them be wiped out? Probably.
Yeah.
Does that allow... us, and don't get me wrong, doesn't mean there's not challenges in the middle, but this is just how I see it. I think I hope it will allow some of us to spend more time being creative.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it will allow some of us to not have to do some of the same manual type work or other things, like those things will be taken. I mean, AI combined with other things, mm-hmm. right? But I just think there's opportunities in it. But I'm hopeful that it's not going to become a huge problem, but I don't think it's the only problem.
100%,
yeah. Yeah, I even like social media, and we do the stuff, right? But like social media, our phones, the way we use technology, the fact that we don't break away from it, the majority of us are addicted to them, like way more than we would like to accept. And I think there's and then having kids from, you know, 11, 8, and 3, and watching how they use these tools as and when you allow them or don't allow them and try and police them or not police them and what you let them watch. Like, we don't have any experience in this. It wasn't there when I was a kid. So we're just sort of making it up as we go. And I just don't think we know the impact. But having spent 12 months in Yelling Up, not away from it, because obviously it was always still connected a lot, but having the ability to like put the phones down more and walk away in nature and things more, I think we'll come to learn the importance of some more of that. So I think there's lots of positives, but I'm genuinely, and I'm usually a fairly optimistic type person with it. I think it's useful. I think people are kidding themselves if they think it's just going to do that job for them, because you still have to do all the admin and everything else around it. Like, you know, okay, write me a blog. Okay, it'll write you an average blog. And then does it post it? Does it get approval from your boss? Does it do this? Does it do any of these other things? Well, hang on. Did it save time?
Yeah.
Or did it not? And so I guess, but then does that blog need to be in the world? And I guess those are some of the more philosophical questions I've asked myself. I'm a mechanic.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like 100,000 mechanics write virtually the same blog and stick it on their website. Like, what's the, you know,
well, how's that gonna make
what's
you,
the point yeah. like it's just yeah. like it's sort of, is it gonna do anything?
That's a good point.
So I don't know if that's an answer. It's where my thinking's at, and I'm constantly thinking about it at the moment, because I think it's really interesting and lots of people have jumped on it to sell courses and to do things, and I think it can be really powerful in a lot of jobs. But it's so early.
Yeah, it's just a tool, really, right? Like, no, it's another tool. It is another tool. Mm-hmm. I think time will tell, I suppose. But thanks for your take. Yeah. A hot take. I like that. That was good. I feel like we wrapped it in a really, we could go for days, days. We'll have to have you back.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for taking the time and sharing a sake with me. That was awesome.
That was great. Really nice. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You're welcome. And we'll definitely, so hearing that side of the story, I think just helps people understand that there is a different way that you can approach things like life and business and challenge. Like, I feel like there is a lot of different values that come from the stories that you've kind of showed and shared today. Cool. Yeah, I'm keen to see that book.
yeah, I'll get it and show you.
Awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Amazing. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast. If there's anyone that you would like to hear from or you think would be a great guest on the podcast, drop us a DM on LinkedIn, Facebook or Instagram, or send us an email at info@theperthbizpod.com.au. Thanks for being a part of the Perth Business Podcast community. A way that you can help out is by rating and reviewing the podcast episodes as you listen to them and sharing them with your mates. Catch you next week.